God, you found a place where you can find true love.
I have found a place.
I have found a place where I can find true love.
I have found a place.
I have found a place where I can be renewed.
A place where
others where my mistakes don't become my end. Others where I am not just based on my past.
Ma
I have found a place where I can find true love. I have found a place where I can be valued. A place where my mistakes don't become my end. A place where I am not just based on my past.
Trust. on, lift it up, lift it up. With you again, in unashamed. With you, Lord, I can be all I'm not. Come on, he's listening to you. For find a friend that I can choose. That is why you will remain my position.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How you doing? If you can hear me, let me know you can hear me.
My mouth can testify more than my mind can comprehend. See, I've seen the wonders of your grace. I'm so sure that.
All right, I'm doing fine. Thank you for everyone that asked. I miss you all too. Good morning, Miss Jessica. Good morning, Grandma Sophie. Good morning, Princess Ikuya. Good morning, Queen Della. Good morning, Akosua. Akosua is Puni. And, okay, I've seen Safoa online. Safoa, how are you doing? You cry, I don't hear from you. It's Akosua that once in a while that appears to say hello and disappear. Good morning, Mama Vero. Good morning, Mr. Solomon. Good morning, Gray. Good morning, Mausanam. Good morning, Sarah. Sarah Kra. Nothing even concerned. Sarah will never say hello or hi. I miss you too, Queen Della. Good morning, Sir Fofo. All right. I guess, you know, we don't meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I just woke up with a nudge since 4 a.m. to just come online a bit and I'm off. Good morning, Madam Shine. Good morning, Madam Philomena. So I'm going to be online just for some few minutes. Just share a scripture that has been in my spirit since this morning and maybe we can pray a moment and we are gone. All right. While I do that, I want to just lift your voice. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost. If you can't, just lift your voice and just give God praise. As this song gets through, then let's hit on that scripture.
This is not the end. I'm so glad you found me worthy. I can see, I can tell, and I know it's your grace. All my days I will sing your praise. I'm so glad you found me worthy. I can see, I can tell, and I know that it's your grace. All my days I will sing your praise. My heart is full of gratitude to you and no one else but you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm here only by your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on me. Tell, and I know it's your grace on my days. I will sing your praise. Oh, see how far you found me. I'm so glad you found me worthy. Lord, I can see.
Karen says she's writing an exam and she just picked her phone and she joined. Amazing. What exam are you writing, Karen? All right. Let's just run through a scripture, a very popular scripture. End of semester exam. Beautiful. I pray for excellence and success in your exam. In the name of Jesus, I pray for excellence and I pray for success in your exams. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, excellence and success. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, and I don't know what you are studying, but do all you can to get a passport if you don't have one. And focus on relocating to America. Karen, focus on relocating to America. All right? If you stay in a season and you stay faithful to God, you're going to have citizenship very easy. It's going to come very cheap. It's going to come very cheap, very easy. And I see you doing so well, and the Lord that even lifted you financially. I said I just want to read the scripture and pray. All right, that's fine. The Lord has lifted you financially. And I see you topping areas of management. All right? I see you topping the areas of management. Specifically around finances, things around finances, around economics, around management. I see you topping a lot of people in that area. You're writing supply chain paper today, chain management. I see you topping in that area, things that has to do with finance, management, and all of that. All right, there is a huge door and a huge space for you in America. You're going to work with a firm that has things to do with finances, and it will bring your name to a limelight. You find favor in the sight of people that matter, men, women, boys, and girls. I pray that your doors are open. I pray for divine support. I pray that the resources are made available. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Okay. And every other person writing an exam, I pray for excellence. I pray for excellence. I think she's not online yet. What's her name? Antoinette just graduated and she came home with first class. I was so excited. She came home with first class, and not just first class, she was among the best of the best in her department. Yeah, she didn't just come with first class, but she was among the best of the best in her department. I knew from the first day I saw that lady online that there was something special about her. Yeah, I knew it. So I wasn't surprised when she sent me what she passed out with. I was supposed to be there myself. Unfortunately, I was not in the country, so I had to send somebody to go there and stand in for me. I was excited that the whole stress was not a waste. Everyone schooling here, I pray for an excellent spirit upon you. In the name of Jesus, everyone schooling, or you are yet to start, whatever, I pray for an excellent spirit upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus. All right, let's run through this and let's go. Just what the best thing you do for me right now is while I talk on this scripture, pray along in tongues. Okay, my plan this morning is not to minister in the prophetic, but I don't know what to happen, just like that of this lady. Just pray along in tongues. Maybe your prayer will help me. I just came to explain a scripture, I'm gone. Maybe your prayer will help me. Maybe. Galatians chapter 4. Before we get into that scripture, let me say this to us, that one of the beauty of life is growth. One of the beauty of life is growth. When you are redundant in growth in any aspect of your life, even you yourself, you are not happy with yourself. People around you, they are not happy with you. And all of that. Just imagine you give birth to a child, and the child is supposedly expected to get to a point, start eating, start crawling, start trying to stand, start walking, start talking, and all of that. And your child is now 5 years. The child is not crawling. The child is not talking. The child is not walking. It will become a problem and a concern to the parents that what is going on. And those who are spiritual, we say they are under attack and begin to go to church for prayers and pour oil and lay hands. And those who go to juju, we carry the child and start going to all kind of deities to consult them for whatever it may be. And those who don't believe in anything or believe in some other thing, we'll go to whatever they believe, and generally people will go to their doctor first and said, my child is 5 years, he can't talk, He can't walk. He can't do anything. Something is wrong. So what they are actually reacting to is the fact that the child is not growing. That's a simple word. That the child is not growing. The joy of every parent is to see the child they give birth to grow in knowledge, grow academically, grow financially. That, okay, my child that I used to pay school fee for can now pay my fees. My child I used to do what and what for can now do things for me. That is the joy of every parent. But when the child who is supposed to take care of the parent have now grown to a point and is still taking money from the house, is still eating the mama's food and still asking the father money for clothing, everybody is concerned. Everybody is concerned. So I want to talk on that aspect this morning. Growth. Growth. And I'll say this to you before we get into scripture, that growth is intentional. Growth is intentional. While we dive into this, I wanted to specifically and carefully pick out what area of your life do you desire to grow in, or what area of your life have you realized you've not been growing in that area? What area of your life? Growth is intentional. There is no accidental growth. Yeah, my daughter, my wife, we miss all kind of missables and all of that, and select food. She had to eat this SMA good and 9-1 and 9-2. This one at this time, this one at that time, and she can't eat this and all of that. All of it is to be intentional about the growth of the baby. All of it. We have, I think we have 6 classes of food, the protein and the carbohydrate and a vitamin and all of that. All of this is to be intentional. Unfortunately, people don't give attention to it. So if somebody who is growing and focusing only on carbohydrates, it now look like a small, I better pass my neighbor generator. It's not growing. It's only adding muscles left, right, and center. And that look like what they used to lose tire from a truck, because he refused to obey the law of bodily growth. When it comes to growth, you must be intentional. That is my point. You must be intentional. There are a lot of you who are so excellent with your jobs. Excellent. When I mean excellent, you are so good at your job, at what you do. When you get to your office, everybody, they know. But you can't handle a relationship. The same you who is so good at your job and all, you can't handle a relationship. There are people who are so good at their jobs, they are so good at it that if you leave the whole company for them, they're going to do well and double the sales and even triple the sales or quadruple. But when you put finances in their hand, they will mess it up. Some are so good in marketing, but don't dare bring them into management. Some are so good in management, don't dare bring them into sales. Some are so good in sales, don't dare bring them into financing. So there are people under the sound of my voice who says, my finance is under attack. I keep doing business. I'm not seeing the money. Sometimes the problem is not actually because your finance is under attack. The problem is that you are good at the sales, but you are not good at the money. All right? So you see a standard establishment. What do? They employ somebody for finances differently. And they employ somebody, people for sales. You go to a shopping mall, for example, those who sell are not those who handle the money. So they have a computerized system. A robot is completely in charge of calculating the money. That even if you are careless, even if you are not careful, the robot can also detect that you took the money and nobody else took it, and there are cameras fixed around. So you could be good in sales, good in management, but you are not good in handling financing. And people like that are those who don't see the need to employ an external body or personality or a system that would help them manage in their finances. I realized that at the point of my life, I was not good in finances. I was very bad. When I mean very, the very is very bad. And I was a pastor. Every money that comes into the church must be spent. Somebody comes and cry that they don't have soup in the house. I will carry church money and give them. Somebody come and cry that people now start seeing me like a fool, that they've not eaten for 14 days now. I will carry church money and give them. Somebody will come and cry, the wife is pregnant, but the baby in the stomach wants to eat crabfish and crocodile meat. I will carry church money and give them. Somebody will come and cry and say that their grandmother and their grandfather in the village just swallowed kerosene, so they need to go to hospital. All kind of nasty and irrelevant things. So by the time we will need money to buy a microphone, to buy batteries, to buy a new keyboard, to buy a new seat, to pay our utility bills, I will end up realizing we don't have money. So we have to now start emergency fundraising to be able to sort out those bills. But it got to a point I sat down and I realized it is not supposed to be so. Sometimes I have to borrow money. As a pastor, I have to borrow money. And the worst that can happen to a man of God is not just to borrow money, but to borrow money from your members. And you now climb the altar on Sunday and tell your member, we serve a God of prosperity. The kind of eye that member will look at you, eh? You serve a God of prosperity and you're owing me. I see your car coming. The member will say, what are you saying, Pastor? If you don't pay my money now, if that car comes, we will collect the tire. So if debt in any form is embarrassing. But when it comes to being a man of God, it's more embarrassing. Or being a leader and you are owing those who are your subjects, it's very embarrassing. I never took loan from any member of mine. I never. I better go far and do that. So it was like that for me. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I will do vigil. I will sleep in church. I will fast. I will do all kind of oblations just to see how I get out of this thing. It wasn't going until I sat down one day and I began to advise myself. That is enough. I'm being foolish. So I picked out a woman in church who I knew was kind of strict, and she's academically sound and good in sales and management. I looked for a stingy person. Yeah. At that point, what I needed was a stingy person. She was very stingy. Before she let her two CDs go, you have to explain to her why. Before her one CD will leave her pocket. So I took her and I put her in charge of the management of the church finances. She was the one in charge of the income. So I realized that in 1 month, we had thousands of CDs saved in our church bank account. In 3 months, we could pay bills without prayer. In 6 months, we could host major programs without fundraising, without, I don't even care if you come, you give CDO, I don't care. You don't give CDO, it is none of my business. And I realized that all this pressure I've now left because I have now set the right structure. Okay? So you can be good in one aspect of your life. You can be a good boss and you can be a good husband. People look at you, my boss is very kind. My boss is the nicest man. And your wife is looking at them, say, you don't know the devil you are dealing with. Maybe the wife is not a good, no. The person could just be a good boss and not a good husband or a good wife. There are people who are good wives, but they are not good cooks. They can take care of the husband, beat the children, clean the house, but they can't cook. If they cook, just sit close to the toilet because your stomach and your bum bum will be connected through a hose and enter into the WC. Some are good cooks, but they can't take care of kids at all. They can't handle children. I've said this story again and again fondly, that when I started seeing people around me get married, I hated marriage, I was afraid of marriage, and I was afraid of having babies. Because when you see the children, they look like what they are about to use to sacrifice to the gods of the land. Children are looking very dirty, very pale, very... I'm like, no, I watch TVs. I see kids looking sumptuous, children they use for advert. You see them looking like some pumpkin and fresh. And I'm like, so what is this? See their nose ring, the cutter is just running like something they want to use to make some, what do they call that green soup again, Kra? What do they call? I've forgotten, is it Zatu, what they call it or what? Like what they use to make some, those green soup. The nose is running, the child's shoe is funny, the clothes. I'm like, what is this? So I was scared of having children and I was scared of getting married. I was scared. It wasn't a demon. It was the things I saw around. And I just, what is this? I love children looking good and looking fresh. I said, but if that's how children are, then I don't want. And these were people, these were pastors, who when they carry a microphone, they will shout down the whole church. When they carry a microphone, they will cast out the whole demons. But when it comes to caring for children, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So I was concerned and I felt like, okay, then this thing there is not a good thing to behold. So what aspect of your life do you think you need to improve on? What aspect of your life do you think you are already good at? We have to give attention to it. All right? Galatians chapter 4, let's take from verse 1. Galatians 4 from verse 1. So Galatians 4 from verse 1 to 4. Whatever area of your life you refuse to grow by, you will always be at the mercy of people. So whatever area of your life you refuse to give attention to grow, you will always be at the mercy of people. You'll always be dependent on people. You'll always be borrowing from people. Now let's read everyone. One to go. Please help me if you can get me TPT after this. TPT or NLT after this. We're already 1 to 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage and the element under the element of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son and made under the law. So now, you see, when you don't grow, Paul is saying that the area you are deficient of growth, you are in bondage in that area. All right? So the reason why some of us are going through financial difficulties, not a demon, we lack growth. So even if a demon is holding you in that area, the demon is holding you legally because you are not growing in that area. If the area that you are not growing is, some of you cannot manage relationship. You just want a man to come, the man to carry you, marry you, but you don't know how to manage a man. Some of you cannot manage a woman. You just want a woman to come, we just marry, you don't just pay bride price. You can have the money, and yet you don't even know what to do with a woman after you now marry the woman. So if you just want a baby, the father, it's been 5 years, what are you waiting for? You don't even know what to do with a baby when it comes. You don't know what to do with it. Some are crying for a car. You don't even know what to do with a car. Is it not just to drive, van? Ask those who own car, who drive regularly. When they tell you the maintenance, when they tell you how tiring it is to drive sometimes, you will know that it's not all about just, when you don't have things, it looks like the world has come to an end. I'm not married. Look at me. Some are married. They are divorced, you know. All right? Some are married. They are divorcing weekly, daily. Then the ones who are not married feels like their life has come to an end because they are not married. And they don't even know their capacity. And they will tell you, oh, me, don't worry. Me, I tell you that I'm different too. If a man just come, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's not really true. It's not really true. It's not really true. I've said this to us again and again. One of the signs that you're going to be a good wife, check how you treat your father, check how you treat your brothers. It's the truth. It's the truth. One of the signs that somebody will be a good wife, check how you treat the men around you who you have mutual relationship with. So if when you see your colleagues at work, you just see them as nothing, whether they are older or younger, they are just a man. That is how you treat the man you married. Oh, this one is to be my husband. It's not true. He's still a man. That same behavior you see in your dad, you see in your, your brother, your colleague, the man you will meet to marry, he's still a man. They're just different in orientation. He's still a man. You want to know you'll be a good... I knew I would be a good husband to an extent when I saw the way I loved and treated my mom. I knew. When I saw the way I cared for my sister, I knew. How do you treat your mom? How do you treat your sister? How do you treat ladies around you? So we just assume that these things are going to just get by and just happen like that, irrespective of. It's not true. It's when we don't have things, we feel like we could have done better. We are just wasting. Or if it will just come. When you have it, you are looking for where to throw it away to. I don't know, what do I even do with it? So, it's saying that Paul is speaking and said that our lack of growth keeps us in bondage. Okay? Our lack of growth keeps us in bondage. It gives the devil and the enemy and nature legal ground to suppress us. So we are heirs. We're supposed to own the throne. We're supposed to own the cars. We're supposed to own the money. We're supposed to own the big deal. But because we are not growing, we refuse to grow. So then we have been left under the people of this world to rule and control us. Let's get the TPT. All right. Madam, what you are posting there? Which version did you put? Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his children, young children, those children are not one better of a slave until they grow. Okay. NLT. Okay, most of them, I'll get to your TPT. Let's do with the NLT. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his children. Now, I want you to keep your heart in this context. The father here is talking about Jesus. It's talking about God, all right? So Jesus already died for us and leave an inheritance for his young children. Those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. So Jesus died. He left things for you. How come your life is not still changing? He said you are not still better than a slave despite you have inheritance left for you. So you're going to live like a slave until they grow up. So until you grow up, it's not until you pray, until you grow up, you're going to be living like a slave. I'm born again. Glory to God. If a man be in Christ, we know. Are you growing in Christ? He said even though they actually own everything their father had, they have to obey their guidance until they reach whatever age the father set. They have to obey their guidance until they reach whatever age the father said. And that's the way it is with us. Before Christ came, we were like children who were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of the world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. I didn't get the last part of it, but I think that's what is there. So you see now that what are you posting? But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. All right. So let's get TPT now from verse 1 to 4. Get me TPT from verse 1 down to 4. Tim Olson and posted that earlier. Let me illustrate. As long as an heir is a minor, he is not really much different than a servant, although he's a master over all of them. For until the time appointed by the father, the child is under the domestic supervision of the guardians of the estate. All right, let's go 3 and 4. So it is with us. When we were juveniles, we were enslaved under the hostile spirit of the world. But when the time of fulfillment had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So what his son actually came to do was to redeem us. But our growth is still our responsibility. Okay? That bondage we are in because of our old ignorance. That was what the son came to bring us out from, but not to automatically inject our growth. The growth part of it is our sole responsibility. The growth part of it is our sole